Well now, hi there. Welcome to Cheese Dudes. Come on in and sit a spell. Me? Oh, I'm just Tommy Porcadillo, the founder and owner of the Cheese Dudes franchise. We here at Cheese Dudes get up round about the crack of dawn each morning to bring you the freshest Cheese Dude ingredients, cracked from the barrel and rolled on down the sluice to Flavor Creek Junction. Start your meal off right with a butternut log, or maybe a plate of ball jacks. And here to help me tell you all about our little family, let's turn the camera on. Well, now I declare, is that minor league all-time runner-up Googler Bell?
Well, you know, when I was growing up in the neighborhood, after every game of stickball, we'd head on down to Cheese Dudes. After a couple of dingers, nothing satisfies like a big old plate of cheese, dudes.
Oh, thank you, Goog. You know, folks, when I'm staring down the hot barrel of a plate of our Mexican Fiesta Tamale Bacon Oda Dude Platter, I find there ain't nothing more satisfying than a tall, cool bucket of our very own Yump. It's the only drink culled directly from the still-beating heart of the Okefenokee Swamp. Whether you take it cool as the heart of Satan himself, or mold in our original blend of gree-gree hoodon spices, it's the Yumpest. Anyhow, we hope you gonna come on down to Cheese Dudes real soon.
Loving you is easy 'cause you're Cheese Dudes. Do 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 do.
Kids punk with a Z?
Yeah, kids punk. It's just a bunch of kids and they sing punk songs.
Yeah, except that if you ever actually listen to one of those Kids Bop albums, because it's actually like a shotgun singer that's brought in and the kids only do the choruses.
That's garbage.
It's weird. If you only listen to the choruses, which is all they play in the commercials for Kids Bop or whatever it is, then you hear like, oh, a bunch of kids singing, how fun. And then you realize, no, it's actually some guy who kind of sounds like Billy Joe or whatever from Green Day.
Aw.
It's weird. Like, why not just have the kids sing the whole punk song?
See, I thought that was the whole appeal of the thing, was you were just going to have kids singing something and that somehow was a better thing than a professional
singer. Everyone thinks that because that's what they want you to think and because no one ever buys a Kids Bop CD. Now, I do not remember how it is that I know this. So, I'm going to have to take this one with a grain of salt. I did have very young siblings, so it might have been some of that shit.
Maybe.
Okay. Welcome to Afterthought, the discussion companion piece podcast to system mastery. I'm Jeff. And that's John.
Woo!
And this week we want to tell you all about punk.
Yeah.
So much.
CM Punk.
CM Punk. I think that's a wrestler?
Oh, good job! You got it!
All right! I know a wrestler or two. Let's see if I can name another one. Ready? Here we go. Modern wrestler, still working. Sheamus.
Yeah! Good job. You picked the worst one out of the list.
Hornswoggle.
Oh, you could have just gone with The Undertaker. That guy is still being propped up and put into the ring.
Yeah, but I wanted to go with one that wasn't from the good period of my youth, where I actually gave a shit about wrestling for like 10 minutes. You know what's funny is when I came into liking wrestling, like every boy does for like a minute.
Oh, yeah.
The guy who was in the wrestling ring was fucking Yokozuna.
Oh, hell yeah. That guy was badass.
So I was like, I identify with Yokozuna. I was like, oh, man, I love this big Japanese wrestler guy. This is crazy.
Oh, dude, that was back in the day when you'd have like Earthquake and it was just the time of fat dudes. And it was a great time to be alive and fat.
Made me look up Kamala the Ugandan Giant just so I could get a little more fat guy throwing his fat around fix.
Yeah. Yeah, fucking Tsunami. It was great. You had the Natural Disaster Tag Team.
I don't know any of this shit. I remember Yokozuna and his big special move was sitting on you.
Yeah, then you had a bunch of weird racist stuff like Papa Shango. It was great.
Good lord. Well, like Yokozuna isn't.
No, that was
you know how angry that would make actual Japanese people? We have a wrestler that's named after the highest ranked sumo wrestler.
Oh, that was a good time to be alive.
It was, and so is now.
Yep.
Ish.
Well... we have to read RPGs now,
yeah,
so it's not great.
Plus, I'm old. It sucks. Kids keep getting on my lawn.
I'm all creaky.
So last week, we read Space 1889.
Unfortunately.
Now, Space 1889 is not actually a steampunk book, and I want to give it that credit. It never says the term steampunk in the book anywhere. I think that's just because it was from before steampunk as a popular zeitgeist thing.
Yeah, I mean, we hadn't really gotten to the point where people really were bandying that around.
Yeah. So it doesn't say the word steampunk in there, but it definitely follows all the trappings of what steampunk is. you've got Victorian gentry and their machines that from that time period, written into machines from this time period, only with a whole bunch of extra gears on them.
Only with a big boiler.
Yeah, big boiler. It's like, oh, well, what do we have now? Telephone? Steam telephone! That basically has become what steampunk is. Now, is that what steampunk should be or what it originally was? No.
No.
Originally, there's a few early steampunk things that kind of get the message of what steampunk is across. Books like The Difference Engine, where it's literally about punk. Because to talk about punk genres, we really need to define what a punk genre should be.
Well, yeah.
It should be about rebellion.
It is an anti-establishment movement.
Yes.
So, I mean, when you looked at just regular punk, it was anti the current establishment. And when you look at something more well-established like cyberpunk, it is the cyberpunk genre is established of people against corporations, and you have a lot of the downtrodden common man fighting against this monolithic power.
Yeah, and what steampunk has become is a bunch of people in fancy waistcoats and top hats.
With cogs.
With cogs all over them. And someone on Something Awful suggested the term cogservative.
Oh, yeah.
For the politics of this. And that makes sense to me. Because steampunk is all about punk. And punk is about, fuck you, man. And, you know, a really good steampunk story could totally exist.
Oh, yeah. You could totally do something in a steampunk world that wasn't just about aristocrats walking around being all pip pip cheerio.
Yeah, imagine one about, say, for example, Indian factory workers rebelling against the imperialists who were taking over their country.
Oh, yeah.
You know, literally raising a wrench and throwing it into the great machine.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways you could do this that doesn't get done, and it's very sad.
Well, it's because we've hit this kind of critical juncture in steampunk where now there's merchandising.
Well, it also is far more about
It's a fashion.
Well, yeah, it's about the fashion than it is about the story.
Yeah. So that's a thing that's definitely kind of caused a problem for steampunk. Now, that doesn't mean that steampunk is, you know, I every time we read a steampunk book, and this was like our second or third, I dump on the genre. Because I hate what it's become. It's become goth, but brown, plus even more insufferable. Now, I say that knowing full... I have never been a goth, because I'm too blonde and Nordic-looking. But I love a lot of goths. They're awesome people. They tend to be the happiest.
Or all my friends growing up were goths, because they're the best.
Yeah, they're friendly. They're so friendly, and I'm sure that steampunk people are too, but I don't want to be in a room with one.
I think the difference is that a goth person you can just have a conversation with, but the steampunk person is going to continually try to inject steampunk into it.
That's true. He's going to actually talk to you in British. It's not like when I hang out with my goth friends, they constantly quote Bauhaus at me.
No, I'm more likely to do that.
Hi, Colin, how you doing? Bela Lugosi's dead. Yeah, I know. Everyone knows Bela Lugosi is dead. He died in the 70s.
Come on.
Let's get with it.
Yeah. So the whole concept of punk does go beyond just sort of the cyber and the steam. There's a bunch of subgenres. Some, I think, get it right a little more than others do, as far as the subgenres go.
Absolutely. And I've already mentioned Difference Engine, but I think another really interesting concept of how steampunk could work, even though it is nowhere near steampunk in terms of technology level, is a book by Neal Stephenson called The Diamond Age. Have you ever read that?
I tried to, but I found it terrible.
Oh, that makes me sad.
I'm just going to dump all over your favorite author.
No, Neil. Anyway, it's set in like the year 3000 or some nonsense like that, and everything's actually nanotechnology, but everyone's gone all back to being Victorian, except there's rebellion. There's actual lower class people rebelling in the book.
Oh yeah, and I think that actually ends up combining. There is a thing called nanopunk.
Oh, of course there is.
That is more about the whole nanotechnology futuristic thing.
In fact, we have a list here.
Oh yeah.
Of the punk genres according to Wikipedia, except that we haven't done any research because this is the System Mastery podcast. So we're just...
No, we didn't read the Wikipedia article. We just took the list.
I just took the top list. So we're going to talk a bit about each one of these, even though we don't know what they are.
Oh, yeah.
So we're just going to try and define them and be wrong. And
yeah,
here we go.
Sweet.
So the first one is in the post-cyberpunk genre, and it's called cyber prep.
And I imagine that's where a bunch of yuppies play cyber tennis?
Just thinking that's going to be cyber preppies. So, like, you have a sweater that automatically wraps itself around your neck like a scarf?
Yeah, yeah. Obviously.
Welcome, Muffy 3000.
You have a robot that discriminates against people on your tennis court you.
That little black butler statue on the parking part of your garage driveway entrance can actually talk to you and tell you who's been there.
Oh yeah, it's great.
That's amazing. And then retro futuristic derivatives. And
yeah,
so these are all a little derivative. If you
yeah, so these are all just the whole we take a old-timey technology and make it into tech we have now, or
yeah,
like future tech.
So there's steampunk, which
we've gone over.
It's done to death. Dieselpunk, which is where genes have become significantly more advanced.
Yes, that is correct.
I'm assuming.
Yeah, everything works on diesel gene technology.
Yeah, diesel genes have become the future.
So that's more about the whole, like, beginning Ford era,
yeah,
like, gas combustion stuff.
Early motors. Yeah, that makes sense. I've never really seen anything set in that genre, but it makes sense that it exists. Decopunk, which is set in the 1920s Ayn Randian era of Art Deco.
Yeah, so you'd have, like, I mean, the Bioshock would be sort of like that.
Or, for a more recent game, Transistor.
Yeah.
Would be in that genre. Even though it's all cybery, it's still got kind of a very Art Deco-y feel. Art Deco is basically the way that people in the 20s thought the future would look. And it's really cool.
So, you know, Metropolis, stuff like that.
Exactly, that sort of thing. That's, out of all of these, I'm gonna say that's my favorite just because I really love Art Deco.
Well, great.
Yeah, this is me. And then, Adam Punk.
Which is, I think a DC hero, right? Adam Punk?
He used to shrink and now he just flies around and is...
Now he's just angry and smokes.
No, have you seen, he's on that stupid Arrow show?
Yeah, of course I have.
Yeah, and he doesn't shrink or anything because he was supposed to have been the Blue Beetle, but they couldn't use the Blue Beetle at the last minute. That's why he's just flying around in a garbage pots and pans power suit. It's so weird seeing Superman reduced to that, because that's Brandon Routh in that fucking
thing. I know,
it's
great.
Ridiculous.
It makes me so happy to see Superman flying around in a shitty tin suit.
Yeah, so there you go, that's what Adam Punk is, it's that.
Yeah, no, it is the, I have circles around my ray gun.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
It is the Atom 50s. Era.
Yeah, makes perfect sense. Futuristic derivatives, which include biopunk.
So, you
biotechnology.
Know, yeah, that whole, like, gene splicing
transhumanism.
Gattaca.
Yeah, Gattaca's a great example. Also, that movie from a few years ago where the two people build, like, a girl that...
Oh, Weird Science, yeah.
Yeah, Weird Science, exactly, thank you. I can't remember what the hell I'm actually thinking of. It's a horror movie with, like, a bean that has legs and then it turns into a monster that kills them. I think it's called Splice or something like that.
Are you high?
No, I'm definitely thinking about Weird Science. You were right in the first place.
Yeah,
that's what. Yeah, what's her name? Kelly something or other in that?
LeBrock.
Kelly LeBrock.
Yeah.
Kelly Preston in that movie.
Yes.
Yeah. And then nanopunk, nanotechnology. That's what Diamond Age would actually be instead of, well, Diamond Age is just an awesome book that has all kinds of genres that John hates.
Yes.
Do you like any Neal Stephenson? Is it just, do you find it?
No. Okay. I got probably about halfway through Cryptonomicon before I was like, I don't care anymore.
If you don't like Cryptonomicon, you're not gonna like. Well, no, you might like
Snow Crash.
Yeah, Snow Crash. Everyone likes Snow Crash. The main character is named Hero Protagonist.
I know. I can get behind.
Yeah, it's so campy. All right, moving right along. Other proposed derivatives, which is great. I'm glad to hear that the Wikipedia is now just accepting people's ideas.
Hey, I once thought of a thing. Can I be on Wikipedia?
Get the fuck to TV Tropes.
God damn it, Google Bell, get out of here.
Google Bell. Oh, the all-time, low-time minor leaguer. Okay, Stone Punk?
Yeah, so Stone Age punk.
But punk?
Yeah,
so you rebel against, like, the...
It's the Flintstones.
Yeah, it's Clan of the Cave Bear.
No, it is straight up the Flintstones, where they use shit to have modern technology, but it's all dinosaurs
but
and stuff.
Who are they rebelling against? Mr. Slate?
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's when, finally, Fred Flintstone throws off his shackles.
Yeah, throws that giant stone time card to the ground, and he's like, you know what? A giant brontosaurus rib ain't good enough no more, Vaughn!
No, it's when the fucking obelisk comes down, and they throw bones at it.
I don't know, Fred. I kind of like my life. Okay, then clock punk.
Yeah.
I like to think that's just clocks rebelling against bigger clocks.
Yeah, no, it's when you have the wind-up old-timey clocks and they're rebelling against digital clocks.
Fuck your easy-to-readness. We've teamed up with military clocks to take you down. Now punk. Get fucked, now punk.
Now that's what I call punk. 27.
Okay, so now punk is about crappy music that comes together to rebel against good music.
Yeah, no, it's straight. Now that's what I call punk is just like Avril Lavigne.
And then, I don't even want to say that. Go ahead. What's the next one?
Elf punk.
Ugh.
Yeah, that's right. It's elf punk, where elves don't like their elders or something. I don't know.
Elves are the elders in every story. That's what they are.
Except the young elves are like, fuck you, granddad. I'm not living in the trees anymore. I'm going into the city and I'm going to live with humans.
I don't care if you're 3,000 years old. I've learned enough in my 1,100 years to know that that's not what life is all about, dad.
Yeah, they've just got a big slogan that says, don't trust anyone over 3,000.
My dad's got a +2 to dex and a -2 to con, but I reject that.
Myth punk, which I have to assume is just like probably Greek myth.
Okay, that's got to be like the retellings of Greek myth where they try and make it more badass, like that
Carson
Singh movie. What was that? The Immortals.
Oh yeah, no, or just do the Rock Hercules movie.
Yeah, where he's not really all that powerful and it's all just tricks.
Yeah, it's all just bullshit stories.
That's a weird one because ultimately The Rock is that powerful.
Oh, also spoiler alert for The Rock's Hercules.
Get fucked. The Rock's Hercules. First of all, that was 2 or 3 years ago. Second of all, no one saw it. Third of all, no one ever will.
I will.
I don't know why. It's got The Rock in it.
Right? I worship everything that man does.
Yeah, yeah. Afterthought special note to everyone who's listening to us. See every movie The Rock is in. Do not hesitate.
Never. Never hesitate. If you see The Rock in the credits, get on that.
Yeah, that's a sign of a quality film. Okay, and then the very last one here. Dream punk.
Which dream punk I think is just Vanishing Point?
Yeah, I can see the Vanishing Point. Well, no, because Vanishing Point is steampunk. It just has dream magic in it. This has got to be...
Yeah, but it's in the dream world.
Okay, that's...
So
that
I'm dreaming about steampunk.
Dream punk sounds like the worst one out of all of them. Like, yeah. You're using dreams to rebel against the establishment? No, great. Just sleep your way through life then, you prol.
No, it's
you deserve the shackles of the master.
It's Little Nemo, and he is going to throw off the shackles.
There you go. It's kind of Victorian still, but sure. Yeah, okay, why not? All right, so there you go. That's all the punk derivatives that Wikipedia has to offer.
Yay! Thanks, Wikipedia.
How do those sound? Do you want to play a role-playing game in any of those?
I would totally play in Stone Punk.
Stone Punk. Okay, yeah, I'm on board with Stone Punk.
It's a living! It used to be. Now I want more! The only thing you have to lose is your chains!
Oh my god, if Stone Punk was about the appliances in the Flintstone house rebelling against them...
Oh, 100% on board for that.
That is the greatest game ever. What do you play as? Oh, I used to be a garbage disposal, but it turned out it wasn't a living. Want to see the sunshine?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the elephant's complaining about having been a shower for years. Oh, the things I've seen.
You don't know. You don't know what the fat man does.
I've smelled it. I've smelled it all. All right. So those are the genres of punk. What do we think about steampunk? Is there life for steampunk? Can it be saved?
I think 100% if there was a writer out there that loved the idea of punk more than the idea of corsets and top hats,
mm-hmm.
Totally.
Right.
Like, 100%, if someone read, like, Diamond Age and was like, dude, I like this, but instead of the nanotech, I want to do actually Victorian.
Yeah.
Then sure.
Half of that book is the Boxer Rebellion, once you get down to it. There's a whole bunch of stuff about... You must have made it further in than I
thought. Oh, no, I made it a ways in.
All right, then.
I can basically read about half of a Stevenson book.
And read the other half. It's easy. It's just another half of a Stevenson book.
Yeah, it's only like another 600 pages. Come on.
Okay, it's true. He does tend to go off on tangents. A lot.
Yeah.
At least you've never tried to read the Baroque cycle. That shit is... That shit is something. It's set like the 1500s. It is hard to read.
Yeah.
It's three times as big as Cryptonomicon.
Sweet.
Yeah. Ugh. It's hard. But, you know, stuff like an ostrich getting decapitated happens, and...
Well, you know, it's got that going for it.
If you want that, if you want ostrich getting decapitated punk...
If what you wanted was a bunch of number theory and some animal getting killed, then boy howdy, do I have the book for you.
Welcome to Book Club! That's right, I read things that aren't role-playing games, or at least I used to in the before time.
In the long ago.
John is the storyteller of the age. The age before we read nothing but RPGs for 2.5 years.
Ah, yes. In the Age of Wonder, before the crystal cracked.
Okay, now I have also invented a punk genre.
Sweet.
We talked about it very briefly in the Space 1889, and I call it arcade punk.
Yeah.
And this is set in the mid to late 80s, when arcades still roamed the earth. And it was the good kind of arcades, the kind that had games that you could play for a quarter, and you actually had to control them with, like, a spinny ball.
Oh, yeah. Well, you had... You had options for what you could play. There was a bunch of weird, dumb things.
Yeah, no, this is arcade punk, when this floor was pink and blue checkerboard, when security guards were the actual people you were rebelling against, or space aliens. Your choice.
You know, or both.
You start
to rebel out that the guards are aliens.
Yeah, perfect. There you go. That's arcade punk. Everything is pink smoke and glittery, bleeping lasers.
And fucking bright yellow on all the games.
Yes, and pink. Oh, yes. Bright yellow on the games because that was the color of plastic that was easy to produce.
Oh, yeah. You'd get, like, Pac-Man and Donkey Kong and everything was made in that bright yellow color.
Yeah, and then the whole thing expands because that's just an arcade that we're describing. And all of a sudden, the arcade is flying through space and there's one kid wearing half a jacket who can control it with a control stick and two buttons.
Yeah, and he is the last Starfighter.
Nope, not the... Wait, hang on. Well,
hold on.
God damn it, you're right. I hadn't even thought about that, but he actually does... He is the best at playing Last Starfighter, isn't he? I haven't seen that movie in a while.
Yeah, there you go. Congratulations.
Did you know that both Steven Spielberg and Seth Rogen have tried to purchase the rights to The Last Starfighter?
Did you know I once tried to purchase the rights to The Last Starfighter?
Yeah, so you're in vaunted territory with Seth Rogen. How much weed have you smoked?
Like a lot of weed. Why do you think I tried to purchase the rights to The Last Starfighter?
That's why Steven Spielberg
just sent him 50 cents and a note that said I'm good for it.
It's this guy, the guy who wrote the screenplay for The Last Starfighter, doesn't want it to go through the Hollywood kind of reboot cycle, and so he's continually refused to sell the rights to it to a whole bunch of people who want them.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
No, that's good. He's got a moral stance, and he's wrong because that movie is garbage, and it should be remade nowadays with good tech. Let's get some good CGI in there.
Oh, yeah.
I hate practical effects. That's what I hate.
Yeah. We got to get more CGI in there. We definitely need to fit in cameos from a whole bunch of, like, nerd celebrities that don't need to be in the movie but are going to be very mildly funny. Like, what can we have Patton Oswalt do in this?
You know, he can probably deliver some of the lines from the first movie that people remember.
You know, he's, like, my favorite comedian, and I am so sick of him on TV shows. I hate, every time it's like, oh, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., let's watch this, Patton Oswalt. He's also on, he's just Patton Oswalt in everything. Anyway.
All Patton Oswalting
he's
around.
He's just Oswalting into everything. He takes me right out of the show. And
you
I'm
know
like,
the best thing he was on was Dollhouse? His role in Dollhouse was the best acting I've seen
him
do.
That was very good. You're right. And that was back before he was on every single nerd bait show.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah.
Watch
right.
Dollhouse.
Watch Dollhouse, the two seasons that won't let you down until the end, and then they do.
There you
watch
go.
Stuff by Joss Whedon. Hey, we just did.
Yeah, we totally did.
Yeah, we just got back from the Avengers Age of Ultron.
Yeah. We're not going to talk about it, though.
That's it. That's all the comments.
There you go.
I'm not even talking about it after the show or before the show. I just saw it, now I'm done.
Yep, that's it. I will never think of it again.
Way more excited about Ant-Man. I don't know about you.
I don't know about you.
For like 2 years, I've been excited about nothing but Ant-Man.
Yeah, it's really that ant-punk.
Yeah,
that I'm really into.
The ant punk is my new favorite genre.
It's when the ants rise up against humans. It's ant punk.
So I created arcade punk. What kind of punk would you like?
I just created ant punk.
Oh,
come on, man.
Very good. Tell me all
get
about
on
ant-
board.
Tell me about ant punk. What's that? Is that when the small ants rebel against the queen?
Yeah. You got that horrible
they
cast
all die.
System.
Right. They have to rise up against those terrifying soldiers.
Yeah. And then they finally do overthrow the queen. They're like, oh shit, we're all gonna die.
And then like the little ones are all like wearing headbands and sleeveless jackets and stuff. Because it's still gotta be a punk genre, right?
Oh yeah.
Like an ant swinging a chain around. It's just made of ants.
Yeah. An ant made of ants?
Yes, an ant made of ants is swinging a chain made of chains.
Sweet. I'm on board, 100%. Green light this shit.
We've just established how late at night we're allowed to record these. just now. Let's get to some questions, shall we?
All right. User questions. These come straight from you, all for us. Everything is delightful.
That was almost a theme song for user questions just
da-da-da,
now.
Da-da-da, straight from you, all for us, loving you.
You get nothing. All right, our very first question comes from Travis at DiceLobber on the Tweetler. He says, favorite beer, local and overall?
All right, so my favorite beer overall is Delirium Tremens.
Oh, yeah, I'm familiar with that beer.
It is delicious. Like, I like some beers. I normally like darker, more like a Guinness than anything else. I want a good dark ale that's just sort of like drinking a loaf of bread. However, fucking Delirium Tremens, I don't, it's like fucking drinking soda. It's just tasty.
Okay. And do you have a favorite local beer that you want to discuss? I don't really.
The Victory at Sea.
Oh, yeah. That
is
good. Yeah, that's
delicious.
Yeah.
The Ballast Point Brewery, local to San Diego, great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and their Victory at Sea. I'm going to go on record here and say I don't really like beer. I'm not Mr. Beer. I don't have a favorite beer because I've only recently discovered why it was I didn't like beer at all. It turns out I don't like hops.
Ah.
And everyone wants me to drink hops, and so every time I'm like, I don't like beer, my friends are like,
have you tried this horrible-tasting hop beer?
Have this session beer. It's made with more hops than it's possible to hop into beer. There's literally flowers floating in it. It comes with a baggie of flowers that you have to stuff in your mouth and suck the beer through.
Hooray!
I hate this. So it turned out that's been driving me nuts. So I like porters, and I don't really know too much about other beers. I think I like amber ales okay as well. But porters, I don't really have a favorite because I've only just very recently started to kind of come around to this. So I do very much enjoy the Victory at Sea. That is a Ballast Point beer that is brewed, it's a porter with coffee and vanilla.
Oh yeah, and I think I like any of the beers that have weird other stuff. So give me like a chocolate milk stout.
As long as it's like sweet or citrusy. Like
there's a beer that's the peanut butter stout. Ugh. Oh my god, no, it's amazing. It tastes like peanut butter, and I love it.
I'll accept peanut butter in my ice cubes, but never in my beer, sir.
Oh man, I'm like a dog with that shit. I'm just licking the roof of my mouth every time I take a drink.
Oh, okay, well, we definitely recommend the coffee vanilla porter. Although, I do agree I like beers that taste like other things, just because I don't have to taste as much beer. But I draw the line at spicy gimmick shit.
Eh.
You give me a beer with habanero in it, and I'm going to give it right back to you. Pass.
Yeah. No,
don't give me your new stupid sriracha beer, you goddamn Portland weirdo.
However, if you give me a beer that just tastes like cherries, great.
That's perfect, yeah. So what I really want is more of a cherry Mike's Hard Cherryade.
What I really want is a Zima.
Yeah, or let's say a Bartles and James, something in that genre.
Yeah, if I was going to say my favorite beer, Bartles and James, Fuzzy Navel.
Fuzzy Navel, right, yeah. Followed closely, but not too closely, by the blue one.
Yeah, the blue one. Yeah, also known as the blue one.
That's what its flavor is. It's the blue one. Yeah, anyway. Yeah, both of us are unabashed drinkers of stupid wine coolers.
Woo.
On any night where we don't care if we have a headache the next day. It is because we are 10 at heart. I'm sorry, like 19 at heart. Is that about right?
What? 16?
16. There you go. Yeah. 16 at heart. Okay. So there you go. Next question, also from Travis at Dice Lobber, because you wanted to ask us a RPG-related question, too. Can't imagine why. How have you gone about building your ideal gaming group? What dynamics make it ideal for you?
So, the gaming group that I have now is actually three different gaming groups that I've had over the years. So, I had one group that was my high school group, and from that, I still have my good friend who is most of the times the GM and sometimes gets to play. Then a few of the other people in the group were from a college group that he was in. So he
the mixed nuts, I believe, right?
Yeah, the assaulted nuts.
Yeah, he was
his improv troupe.
His improv group, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or his ska band, one of those.
You know, both.
Yeah, why not?
They improvised ska.
God, that is the worst thing I've ever heard.
Yeah,
wait, no,
ska
wait,
jam
no, I think I've got it. Improved ska that backs burlesque based on Adventure Time.
Sweet, sold. Let's do it monthly every time.
Yes.
So then I grabbed basically one person out of that group. So I got one person from my high school group, one person from my college group, and then one person from outside the college group who then knew people that were in the college group. So I've just sort of slowly amassed one person at a time. And then Jeff showed up one day, and we never had the heart to kick him out. So there you go.
I believe I replaced one of your other friends who was super nerd mad at me being here at all.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. Not to their credit, they were probably right. I'm horrible.
Oh, it is true. You are pretty much the worst.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely true. Now, I don't really think the question is how do we come by the game group we have now, but how do you build a good game group? And truth is, neither of us are very good at that. I don't think I've ever done the whole assembling the A-team from scratch thing.
Well, I mean, that was basically how have we gone about building it and what dynamics work for us.
Yeah, that's
the
fair.
Fact that it works for us is the group is very good at being able to separate RP and out of character. It doesn't matter if you interrupt some things with, like, dumb crap, but we do a lot of actual role-playing instead of just rolling dice.
Right. And I'm mostly just there because I'm fairly good in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plus, yeah. I have a lot of dice.
We keep you barefoot in the kitchen, making us snacks.
I don't know why I gotta be barefoot. I understand.
Well, because you can't get you pregnant.
I understand the apron.
You're barren.
Barren. Oh, I'm dry inside. Like a
Like a breezy desert. All right. Next question. I'm sorry.
So there you go. That's the dynamic that makes it ideal for us, is we've all been friends before we were gamers, really.
I think that's important, because for a lot of our sessions, we don't get started for like 3 hours.
Yeah, I think being friends first before gaming is good, because it means you know you can spend fucking like 5 hours in a room with a person and not hate them.
Oh, it's the opposite of sex. I would prefer to have never met that person. All right, moving right along. This one comes to us from John Kaufman, or at InfoCorn, and he asks, I've heard it said you can take the measure of a man from which films he knows Tim Curry from. What's on your list of favorite Tim Curry performances? And I'm going to answer for John.
Don't answer for me.
I'm doing it.
I answer for me.
I'm doing it. You can answer for me. I'm answering for you.
I don't know you,
yeah,
son.
You do. You know my favorite one. I said it in the list of favorite movies in the previous one. So, John's, without any prior knowledge, is Pennywise the Clown from It, yes?
100%. This is the first thing I ever saw Tim Curry in.
Tell me all about it.
I was 7 years old. It scared the shit out of me. I was scared to go into the bathroom for fear that he would come up and murder me Ghoulies style.
I didn't see this movie till I was a full-grown adult, so
oh, yeah, no. Seeing this when you're like seven, and it's just a horrible killer clown that can shapeshift and comes through the sewers pipes, and you're like, oh, shit. Oh, I'm gonna die.
And this he wants kids specifically.
Yeah, he specifically wants to murder children.
Yeah. I didn't see this one until I was an adult. So I have an appreciation for the film, but I kind of hate all the performances by everyone but Tim Curry in it.
Oh, yeah. Well, Tim Curry is fucking amazing in it still to this day.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But then you watch things and you're like, oh, John Ritter. Aw.
Isn't like Seth Green in that, too? No, I'm thinking of something else.
No. It's, yes, actually, yeah, Seth Green, he's one of the kids.
Yeah. I was right. Okay, sweet.
Yeah.
Okay, and now my favorite Tim Curry performance, John?
Yeah. Obviously, Duckman the movie.
That's correct. Duckman the movie. Duckman in Manhattan.
Buck. Buck.
That's right.
Buck.
He plays King Tiberius Chicken or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's an amazing performance. No, of course not.
So, Clue.
I mean, that's both of our second favorites.
Yeah.
Is the Duckman film, which exists completely. Everyone can trust us on this.
Please Google it and tell us how much you enjoy this movie.
You know, if you Google Duckman RPG now, we're like the first 14 responses.
Good.
People looking for a Duckman RPG, come to us. But then again, source. That's because we have it. We made one. Anyway, no, my actual favorite
is Clue.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, it is.
No.
No, that's
be nice. I gave you a real one. I didn't say your favorite was Tim Curry in Legend or the Congo.
I almost gave you Congo, too. Damn it.
Wild Thornberries go to Paris.
Whatever, don't hate on Clue. Clue's fucking
Clue
awesome.
Clue is fucking awesome, but Dr. Frank is fucking awesome.
Right? I know.
So, Rocky Horror Picture Show, Dr. Frank, it is an amazing, powerful performance. As a known bisexual person who's on the podcasting airwaves, it was a very important movie for me.
That's good.
It meant a lot, because he's clearly very bi in that movie, and he's very forward and progressive. It's a powerful film for me. So that was important. And then after that, yeah, Clue was a really goddamn good movie.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing with Clue is that it's not really the best Tim Curry performance. It's the best everyone performance. That is the ensemble piece.
It's amazing. Everyone in there is great.
100% on point. Even if they're never in another film from that point forward. Like, that woman who plays, like, the maid.
Oh, yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Super good.
Still great. Never saw her in anything else.
Yeah. It's super good. So there you go. I would say
Butler,
in order.
Sir. Well, I'm Buffle.
Goddamn. Oh, Muppet Treasure Island.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so good.
Hello, Long John. And when he pauses in the middle of the song he sings to point out it's the only song he gets to sing, so he's going to ham it up more.
Yeah.
We love Tim Curry. We both do.
Yeah, Tim Curry is awesome, but 100% it is it and
Rocky Horror Picture Show. Yeah, so there you go. Those are probably very safe choices on the Tim Curry.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, people might say Legend or something, but for us, those are the best, and it's not surprising why. So there you go. All right, next question. I love this one. This one comes to us from literally not Jesus.
Yeah.
So just about anybody but Jesus asked us this question. So it might have been you, unless you are Jesus.
Was it you? Are you Jesus?
Are you not Jesus? Are not you Jesus?
Am I not Jesus? Is a man not right to have his Jesus?
All right. I'm going to try and read this verbatim in the way I think this guy talks, because this is amazing. Honestly, you see in this Batman v Superman shit, Superman would splatter Batman in any fight. Dude got 50,000 superpowers, like super strength, super hearing, and super speed. Batman is just a rich idiot in a furry suit. So, in the interest of Batman v Superman, what is the most entertaining way that Superman or any of his superpowered friends could be beat the shit out of Batman? Signed, literally not Jesus.
Yeah.
It took me a minute to, my nerd brain kicked in and pointed out that Batman's suit is not furry. And then I remembered, oh wait, a furry, like a fursuit. Yeah, no, like a suit that a furry would wear.
No, he has a bat fursona.
Yeah, okay, so that's more, I'm like, he doesn't have fur on his suit, that would look ridiculous.
Yeah, that'd be great. He'd look like a wolf jump through his window and he's like, I must become a wolf, and then he gets one of those fur costumes.
There are furry guys in furry suits in the Batman universe, that's what Killer Moth is.
Yeah.
So why not, right?
You know.
There's fur on a bat.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's there fur is. All the way down on the back. Just fursona revealed.
He's a bat on the outside, but on the inside he's a big old bear.
It's true. I just watched the cartoon version of Dark Knight Returns, and he's a big bear in that. That is some truth.
I just want him to hold him.
Especially because, I don't know if you've ever seen that cartoon version of Dark Knight Returns, but they gay up the Joker like you would not believe.
Sweet.
It's... I guess it's because it's a Frank Miller production. Or
yeah, and Frank Miller is the worst.
Yeah, kind of the worst. Okay, so what do you think? How would you like to see Superman humiliate the bat?
Well, I mean, the big thing is, you go, all right, so flies up into the atmosphere, x-rays until he finds Batman, and then just zaps his head off. Like, that's the easy way.
Yeah.
The other way is, he just calls Batman out, and Batman tries to do some shit, and then he just, like, lasers off the kryptonite ring, and then just picks him up and puts him down at, like, his parents' grave, and then waggles him around in front of it and tells him how he couldn't get over it. And he's like, I had a planet die. Do you see me crying? Is little Brucey gonna cry? Is Brucey sad?
See, now, I like him just walking in the middle of Gotham City, like, walking down the street, just going, Batman is Bruce Wayne. Batman is Bruce Wayne.
How have you not seen this?
How's he gonna stop Superman from doing that? He's gonna shoot guns at him and stuff. He'll just be walking down the street. I don't give a fuck. You can't do shit unless you got some kryptonite, then you can do some shit.
No, 100% what he does is he goes to Gotham, picks up every single Batman supervillain, ties them up, puts them in real jail, and goes, hey man, your job would be way easier if you had any powers, you're kind of a bitch, and then leaves.
Leaving Batman nothing.
Yeah, he's like, I took all your supervillains away, bye.
Yeah, I also like the notion that one of the things I always notice about Superman is it seems like he's exactly as rich as Batman. So Batman's whole thing is being the billionaire superhero has always been like,
What are you even talking about?
Okay, he has a whole fucking, like, Fortress of Solitude. Have you seen the shit that he has in there? It's like, he's got all this shit made out of stars, he's got a whole army of robots that are exactly as powerful as he is. You know how much it costs to feed a monster that eats suns? It's a lot!
Yeah, it costs one sun.
Like, a week! Suns aren't cheap!
Yeah, what the fuck, what is he buying suns on the black hole market?
No, they're fucking
Whole Foods. Black Hole Market.
Black Hole Market.
Yeah.
Black Hole Foods. That's where he gets his, he gets suns at Black Hole Foods. Where you can get a sun or a $7 potato.
Yeah.
There you go. So I like financial humiliation is the way he takes down the Batman, where Batman's like, I bought this amazing Batmobile. Oh, that's cool. I got a better one. It's a coupe. It has the LX package.
Yeah.
Okay, so there you go. We have a couple different ways we can see that. Any other heroes who you think should be humiliating Batman? Whole smug, I can do whatever because I prepared.
Obviously, the Flash at all times. Like, it doesn't even matter. If you spring a trap, with the powers the Flash has, he's just like, I don't care.
The only way that the Flash works as a superhero in conjunction with any other superhero is he has to be stupid.
Oh, yeah. The 100% in any book that it isn't just the Flash's own book, he has to become immediately, like, 20 IQ points dumber. So that he isn't just like, oh, I win.
They do an episode of the cartoon where he rolls around the world in like a second and then punches Lex Luthor and then does it again a bunch of times and keeps going faster and faster. Like 5 episodes earlier, he couldn't catch a van. That's how you have to keep the Flash writing. You have to be super inconsistent so that his powers don't just completely ruin the story.
Oh, yeah. Well, at times you're like, oh, this guy can run so fast, he rips through space-time. And other times you're like, oh, man, he couldn't quite outrun a bullet.
Yeah. I think you should do a whole thing where he just zips into Gotham and takes Batman's mask off in the middle of doing shit, and then just leaves.
Just zips in, pantses him, is gone. Puts the Joker right next to him.
Puts a camera in the Joker's hands.
Go, have fun.
Have fun, bye. Doesn't even talk. Never there. Never leaves Batman knowing what's going on. Yeah. So Batman's just thinking his pants are haunted or some shit.
Oh. I don't know why he would think his pants are haunted, but the idea that he would be like, Mom, Dad, is that you? Are you in my pants?
I mean, I know my package is haunted.
Oh, really? How do you know your package is haunted?
Because when the ladies see it, they go, ooh.
Good.
All right, there you go. That's the Batman question. Thank you very much for that question. We're very happy to have answered it. Okay, next question from Ryan Marshall, good friend of ours. I tried to give him back his Cinnabar book the other night, but he was not there. Ryan, get in contact with me. We don't want to keep your book. It's not fair.
We don't want to keep Cinnabar. It's scaring the other books.
It's so much better than them. Any thoughts on the news that Rifts will see an official Savage Worlds conversion? Is that something you could see yourselves playing at some point? Or do you think it's mostly aimed at people who don't otherwise have Rifts in a playable format? All right, first of all, every nerd has Rifts in a playable format. Let's get that out of the way.
The amount of times people have come into the store and been like, hey, man, you got any Rifts books? I'm like, what the fuck? Is this 1995? No, I don't have any Rifts books.
Go on the internet like everybody else.
Yeah.
Or just the used shelf, which usually has 3/4 of them.
Yeah, which is why I think it is... assuming Kevin Symbieta doesn't just freak out and go, JK, I don't want you to have this.
Oh, yeah, this is definitely a counter chickens question. First of all, everything that Kevin Symbieta plans, take with a huge grain of salt, and then take another grain of salt, and then eat a big heaping bowl of salt. Because either he will not do it, or he'll do it, and then the company that he did it with will fall through immediately, through some crazy act of God.
Oh, yeah, there was going to be, like, a Rifts GURPS thing, and he was just straight up like, no.
Yeah, that one, GURPS survived, GURPS moved on. There was a Rifts CCG, they managed to produce the first starter box of the Rifts collectible card game,
yep.
And then Precedence Games, the company that made it, went out of business, mysteriously. There was going to be an N-Gage game.
Well, there was. There was an N-Gage game.
And then the
N-Gage. And then it was on the N-Gage.
The N-Gage tanked amazingly. So don't trust anything that Rifts starts to do.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure if Savage Worlds comes out with a Rifts book, then Savage Worlds line will be shut down immediately.
The whole factory is going to get hit by a meteor or something.
But no, I think, with a Savage World Rifts book, I could see it being something I would at least want to look at.
Oh yeah, no, I actually kind of like Savage Worlds. I mean, it's just one of those kind of very simple, do what you want with this, like, basic storylines. It's got a kind of slangy tone to it.
Yeah.
But I think it's interesting. I think it's an enjoyable thing. If you haven't heard of Savage Worlds, it's a very simple set of rules you can use to play role-playing games. You can find their Quick Start Guide for free online. I would endorse them. There's a reason we haven't talked about them. One, it wouldn't fill an hour, and two, they're pretty good.
Yeah.
So.
And, I mean, I do think that it is going to be good to have that for people who don't know Rifts. Like, that's... If Symbieta, again, actually goes through with it, it is a good way to get the IP out to people that haven't heard of it recently.
Yeah.
Because unless you're a nerd that's as old as we are, you don't really know Rifts outside of secondhand tales that you were told about the craziest shit ever.
Yeah, and you deserve to know Rifts. Rifts is a thing that nerds should know.
Oh yeah, this is something that, like, nerds nowadays got told by their dad, who was like, man, back when I used to game, I played Rifts. Holy shit.
Oh, dude, let me tell you, when I was a kid, I would play Rifts that I found in the fucking woods.
Yeah, I used to get my Rifts, and it would be like hardbound copies. Now it's just all on the internet.
I'd always get like that. Rifts where it had been shaved a little.
I only read Rifts for the articles.
Man, I'm still freaking out over the concept of finding Rifts in the woods. A tattered copy of Rifts Manhunter I found in the woods. Oh, man, that kept me through some hard times, let me tell you.
Oh, man, I had a few juicer uprisings, if you know what I mean.
I had a copy of Federation of Magic that I think I took in the shower too many times, and it got all steamed up on the edges.
Oh, man, you can't even crack my version of Psyscape open. These pages are just done. Well, that's been the most disgusting thing we've ever said about Rifts. Let's move on.
Okay, last question for the day. For Afterthought. Oh, that's the show we're doing. I should have read that part. Who'd win in a fight between the 40K Emperor and Jesus? Lawrence Allen or Darth Conan's on the Twitter?
Ah, well, trick question. The 40K Goku. Emperor is Jesus.
Oh, the 40K Emperor is Jesus. You're right, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, no, wait. Jesus is the god of hope and command known as Aridius.
No, that's Aridius's avatar.
Oh, you're right. Aridius is just a regular god.
Now, Aridius versus the 40K Emperor, that's a fight. Now, that's straight up just some corn shit.
Yeah, although I still think Goku wins this, right?
Oh, yeah, obviously. He spirit bombs everyone and wins.
Yeah, a spirit bomb versus Superman, something, I don't know. Constant nerd questions.
No, I think, I mean, at that point, I gotta give it to the Emperor, because it has been on record that Jesus has died.
Yeah,
like
true.
A punk.
Well, also, it's on record that the Emperor has died. I mean, he's dead right now. That's the whole thing.
Well, I mean,
the Emperor.
He's kind of dead.
He's only mostly dead.
Yeah.
True love can save the 40K Emperor.
True love!
is?
He said to blave. It's blaving that will save the 40.
Yes. The Blave Legion is going to show up. It's my favorite space marine.
They're painted like a nice MLT. These have been some jokes from the Princess Bride.
Yay.
Okay, so those are all the questions. Oh, wait, did we answer that? Who would win? You said the 40K Emperor.
I'm going to go with the Emperor because Jesus will die.
I don't see any powers that Jesus has that are conducive to fighting against, like, a psychic god. Like, I mean, I guess he could probably turn all those pipes that are leading into the 40K Emperor from water into wine.
Oh, that'd be neat.
Yeah, just have a drunk Emperor.
I don't think those pipes are water. I think that's actually souls of psychic people.
Well, sure, but he could turn that into wine.
Yeah, it's... Remember that story in the New Testament where Jesus turned souls into wine? That was my favorite. I think that was in Mark.
Yeah, it's definitely in Mark. Mark's got a little bit more of a Gnostic bent than most of the other books. And there's a lot more of that Gnosticism tradition of turning things into wine, especially souls.
Yeah, it's where he went up to that fig tree and he was like, "Oh, you don't have any figs. I'm going to turn you into a soul."
Yeah, and then I think he walked across a river made of orcs at one point.
Yeah, that totally happened.
Yeah. Remember when he fed a crowd of 500 people with only one Eldar?
Yeah.
So yeah, I gotta give it to the Emperor too, because the Emperor's got some combat stuff to his name. It's
Jesus's weapon skills may be like two. Come on, yeah. He's like a Tau in close combat.
Well, no, let's think about it. He did scourge moneylenders from the temple with a whip, so I mean, moneylenders are probably not all that great in combat, but Jesus had at least a two.
I mean, he could flip a table, we're gonna give him a strength 3.
He was a carpenter, he probably knows his way around a hammer. But, again, the psychic emperor could probably just bring in a battleship to kill him.
Oh, no, I mean, come on.
I think, ultimately, Jesus' whole plan is to die. That's, like, what Jesus was built for. He was built to die, and so he's going to do that. He's going to lose, and then ultimately win anyway.
Also, built to die just sounds like it'd be some pulp novel with, like, a scantily clad woman on the front.
Ooh, yeah.
I would totally read that right now. Yeah. Or as long as Neal Stephenson didn't write it.
Like a Marilyn Manson album, too. I could see either one of those things.
Yeah.
Yeah, but definitely a built to die. She had legs going up for days, and then they terminated in some kind of gear mechanism.
And then they terminated, just like she did.
There's our new concept, is the pulp detective novel starring a lady Terminator.
Sweet. Awesome. So it's just Terminator Noir. I think that goes on the list of things on the Wikipedia Noir versions.
Oh, well, can we do some Terminator Noir Punk and put that on that page?
Yes, Terminator Noir Punk is happening right now.
I mean, all it has to do is be proposed as a derivative.
Yeah, I propose Terminator Noir Punk.
It is so deposed, sir. Oh, wait, proposed.
Yes, and then deposed.
It has not been deposed yet. It will be once we try and put it on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Hear that, loyal listeners? Put Terminator Noir Punk on the Wikipedia page.
If someone can give me a screenshot of that.
That would be fantastic. Thank you. All right. Do you think we're good?
I think that just about covers everything.
Yeah. I think we've had a cohesive show that made a lot of sense and will make sense to people.
We've totally talked about a lot of salient points.
Yeah.
And I think everyone's a little bit smarter for having listened.
A little smarter, a little wiser. I think I am, too.
Yeah. I think we learned something today.
I learned something from the listeners today who I couldn't hear and won't hear this for days.
Yeah. It's amazing. Thank you, listeners.
Thank you. I think you're the true podcasters.
You're the true heroes here.
Yeah. Don't cheapen that word. America.
Merca.
All right. As always, this has been Afterthought, the companion piece to the System Mastery Podcast. You can find us at SystemMasteryPodcast.com. Rate and review us on iTunes and Stitcher, because we're on both of those. Or you can email us at SystemMastery@gmail.com to ask us all your questions or recommend books. By all means, send us recommendations. Just know that we have about 2.5 years of books right now.
Woo.
So it's got to be a pretty compelling book if you want us to review it.
Yeah. Send us something, and then it'll be jumping to the head of the line.
Absolutely. If you actually mail us a book, we do that next. That's the rule.
Yep.
And then you don't get it back.
Nope. It just sits right here on our shelf of shame.
Except for that copy of Cinnabar. Ryan, we're getting that back to you somehow, buddy.
It keeps beating up the other books and taking their lunch money.
It's creepy. It opens itself at night.
Yeah, so do I. But, I mean, I don't brag about it.
That is deeply.
Yeah, it is deeply.
Is that because you're reading your Riffs books again? Get yourself a copy of Riffs Atlantis and just pop yourself open.
I've got the Goatman RCC. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. That book makes me say Harkall. That's just my own face. I gotta say Harkall when I'm... You get it?
Harkall!
Exactly, there it is. By all means, send us questions for the Afterthought Podcast. As you can see, we really like it when you send us questions that don't have all that much to do with role-playing games, because there's only so many times we can answer what our favorite role-playing game is.
And I don't even know what the answer to that was. So send us that question again. All right, so that's it. I think that's all the places you can find us. So find us and definitely give us some rates and reviews on that iTunes and Stitcher.
Please find us and murder us.
Yes. Please find us and murder us in our sleep. If you go to the podcast website, you'll find a list of our fears, our addresses, places we commonly go.
Next of kin.
Yeah, the exact point where my rib cage is, where you can just slide a knife right in. I'm creeping myself out. Thank you, and have a pleasant week.